It's my pleasure to join with Nicholas in welcoming you today. Appreciate each one who's come and encourage you to get your Bible and to study with us. It's my intention to simply point out what the Bible teaches, that we might be in a better position to live righteous before God. I call your attention to a statement made in the book of Judges, chapter 13. When an angel of the Lord appeared unto Manoah's wife with this message, as recorded in Judges 13 and verse 3. Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. You might put yourself in Mrs. Manoah's place. Here you're barren, and an angel appears and tells you you're going to have a son. Can you imagine that? He gave her a little warning, saying, Beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The woman then runs to tell her husband this exciting news. And in verse 8, Manoah entreated the Lord and said, I want us to observe what he says in his entreating the Lord. Let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. I got to thinking about that statement. You might like to underscore that in your Bible. When Manoah entreated the Lord and said, Teach us what we shall do unto the child. You and I need to be taught as to what we shall do unto the child. If you were to take your concordance and look up that word child, you'd come across the word child 201 times in the Bible. If you were to use that concordance and look up the word children, you'd encounter that term 1,803 times. And so the Bible has lots to say about child and children. I look through all of those to try to find out what we shall do unto the child. One of the passages that I came across that you and I need to appreciate as parents is the statement recorded in Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, wherein the psalmist declared, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Has it occurred to you as a parent that your children are an heritage of the Lord? That the fruit of your womb is His reward? Since our children are given to us from the Lord, doesn't it make sense that we as Manoah ought to entreat the Lord as to what we shall do unto the child? As we examine the teachings of this sacred volume together this morning, let's be impressed with what we shall do unto the child. May I recommend to us, first of all, that as we desire to be taught what we shall do unto the child, that we ought to bring them to occasions such as this. I take us from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, and in verse 11 beginning, wherein the law made provision for reading. In Deuteronomy 31 and in verse 11, Moses said, When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before who? All Israel. In their hearing. Now, listen to these words. Gather the people together. Who's to be gathered together? Just the men and women, right? I mean, that's the only people that could benefit from hearing the law read, right? No, let's read on. He said, and children, and thy stranger that's within thy gates, that they who? Men and women and children, as well as the stranger, may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. That's the first thing I want us to be impressed with when you think about being taught as to what we shall do unto the child. We shall bring them to an assembly such as this. Notice that when provision was made for the law to be read, instruction was given for the children as well as the adults to be gathered together. And the purpose was that they may hear, that they may learn, and that they may fear and observe to do. Four things. Four ways that bringing children to an occasion such as this will benefit them, will be of value to them. They'll hear. You might highlight these words in your text or circle them. Learn, fear, and do. How can we expect our children to do if they have not first heard? And I'm thankful for our parents today who see the value of bringing your children to occasions like this, because you see the importance of their hearing, learning, fearing, and doing. Children which have not known anything can come to hear and learn to fear the Lord through occasions like this. And so bring them. And bring them every time. Bring them faithfully, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. Bring them to Bible study. Bring them to worship, that they might hear, learn, fear, and do. But as you think about this little statement from Manoah, spoken so long ago, teach us what we shall do unto the child. May I suggest to us, secondly, that not only do we need to bring them, but we need to teach them. This book teaches us to teach our children. You remember what it was that God said about Abraham that he knew? In the book of Genesis chapter 18 and in verse 19, God said of Abraham, I know him. And by the way, he knows you. Did you realize that? He knows me. What do you know about Abraham? That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Could God say that of you as a father? I know that you will command your children and your household after you. They'll keep the way of the Lord. What a great tribute to this father. As you come over to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 4, emphasis was placed upon the children of Israel teaching their young. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 9, it is recorded, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul, how? Diligently. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Notice where he starts. He starts with the present generation. He starts with the parents. My first responsibility is to myself. I've got to take heed to myself. I've got to keep my soul diligently. That takes a lot of effort just to keep my soul. You know, sometimes we try to take care of everybody else and we neglect ourselves. I've got to keep my soul, lest I forget. You know, it's possible to forget the things that I've seen and heard. And so I've got to work on that. And then he talks about the next generation. it's not enough for me as a parent to just take heed to myself. I've got to think about the next generation. He said, teach them thy sons and thy son's sons. That's your grandson, your grandchildren. And so there's three generations involved here, aren't there? You, your children, and your grandchildren. And then in verse 10, he says, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. You might underscore those words, that they may teach their children. What shall we do unto the child? We shall teach them. Just like the law talked about. Again, in the book of Deuteronomy. Turn over just a couple of pages to chapter 6. He said in verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Notice again, he starts with the present generation. He talks about thou and thine. I need to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and might. And when I have that kind of allegiance to the Lord, everything else will fall into its proper place. The problem is sometimes we begin to love the Lord less than other things. And other things take priority over Him. These words need to be in my heart. What words? These words of loyalty, these words of commitment, these words of devotion. To love Him with all of my heart, soul, and might. But they don't just need to be in my heart. These truths need to be impressed upon the hearts of our young people. They need to be taught. And they need to be taught diligently. When should I teach my children? He said, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That pretty well covers every place, doesn't it? You might highlight or circle those words. Sittest, walkest, liest down, risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. A lot of emphasis was placed on keeping your heart, loving the Lord with all of your heart, and then teaching them diligently unto thy children. This was repeated even in chapter 11, when in verse 19, after impressing upon them the need to lay up these words in your heart, he said, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. And here's the benefit. Here's how this will value you. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Maybe we need to work a little bit on ourselves to start with. These words will be in our heart. Have we laid up these words in our heart? Have we bound them for a sign upon our head? And then to teach those to our children. What shall we do unto the child? We shall teach them. As you think about teaching the next generation, listen to these words from Psalm 78, beginning in verse 4. The Bible says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. He talks about different generations. There's a generation that set not their heart aright. There's a generation whose spirit was not steadfast with God. He doesn't want this generation to be like that generation. He wants this generation to come to be a generation that set their hope in God, a generation that does not forget the works of God, a generation that keeps His commandments. And you and I might think about the generation to come. What's that generation going to be like? Is it going to be a generation that set not their heart aright? Is it going to be a generation whose spirit was not steadfast with God? Or will it be a generation that set their hope in God? A generation that remembers the works of God and keeps the commandments of God. And what the generation to come will be like depends upon us, doesn't it? It depends upon the present generation. We must show these things to the generation to come. We must not hide them. Lest there arise a generation after us, like we read about from the book of Judges, chapter 2 and verse 10, which does not know the Lord. You remember Timothy and the thing that Paul made mention of concerning him and his childhood? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul said, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Think about that for a moment. Paul was able to say of Timothy that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures. How do you think he got to know the Scriptures from a child? Somebody's doing some teaching. Somebody was doing some talking. Somebody was doing some showing. And you know where that started? With two outstanding women in his life. His mother and his grandmother. That's the best place to start the education of a child. In 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 5, Paul said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." What shall we do unto the child? Bring them and teach them. And I got to thinking about some things they need to be taught. They need to be taught the fact that there's a God. How that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1:1. How the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God," Psalm 14:1. How that it is in God that we live and move and have our being, Acts 17:28. You know, they're atheists. There are those who think that there is no God. They need to be taught that there's a God. And you and I need to teach them that. They need to be taught that we're accountable to God, that God expects some things of us, that we're responsible to fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment. They need to be taught about that. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, which in one sentence gives the meaning of my life, the purpose of life. You know, a lot of children grow up and go through life without knowing what it's all about, missing the point of everything because they've not been taught. Don't let that happen to your children. I try not to let that happen to mine, to teach them what life's about, why we're here, to teach them about Jesus, who He is. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of men. One of these days, He's going to be our judge. To teach them what He's done, how He came and He lived. He lived a perfect life, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who went about doing good. Teach them about His death, the fact that He tasted death for every man. Impress them with that crucifixion scene, that He died for you. He died for them. And He died for all. That He shed His blood so that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. Teach them about sin, that they might know what it is and what it does. They can be warned about it so they can avoid it. Teach them about the church. The fact that there's one body, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. And that is the church. Colossians 1:24. Teach them about the name of the church. How it's identified in this book. How it's organized. How we worship God acceptably. The work that we're to do together. Teach them those things. How all is to be done in the Lord's name or by His authority. Teach them about heaven and hell. If we don't teach them these things, who's going to? Oh, somebody will teach them some things, but what will they be taught? Teach them the truth. As Jesus said, thy word is truth. Teach them. As you think about what shall we do under the child, there's a third thing I want us to entertain. And that is, we shall train them. You know, Proverbs 22 and verse 6 is, train up a child. Anyway, right? Just anyway? No, he said, in the way he should go. There is a way in which a child should go. Wouldn't that imply that there are some ways in which he ought not go? And if we don't train him in the way he should go, he might just go any old way. He might follow after that which is right in his own eyes. There's a period when men did that. And you saw the downfall, the trouble they got themselves into. Just read about Micah and his idol and the sin of the men of Benjamin to see how corrupt and bad things can get when folks get away from the Lord's way. The Lord's way is higher than our way. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Train him in the way he should go. You ever work with clay? I remember in school, in art, we'd be given some clay and we'd fashion that. Make whatever we wanted to out of it. Might make a little teacup, a platter. You know, there's a time when the clay is soft and it can be molded to about any shape or form that you want to make it. Have you thought about children in your hand like clay in the potter's hand? And how that our children generally become what we make of them. There's a little poem I'd like to share with you that says, I took a piece of plastic clay and gently fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it bent and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past. The bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it, still it bore, and I could change it nevermore. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day and fashioned with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that impress bore, and I could change it nevermore. Think about that. Think about our children as clay. And how there's a time when they're soft and they're yielding. But there'll be a time when that clay will be hard and we'll not be able to change it. Another little poem entitled, A Little Girl Follows Me. A careful teacher I want to be. A little girl follows me. I do not dare to go astray for fear she'll go the selfsame way. I cannot once escape her eyes. Whate'er she see me do, she tries. Like me, she says she's going to be the little girl who follows me. She thinks that I'm good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me she must not see, the little girl who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years that be, for that little girl who follows me. And then another one called, Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy. Walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they are hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way, many, many years ago, For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I will have grown up, you are like I want to be. Then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. One more. It's called To My Grown-Up Son. My hands were busy through the day. I didn't have much time to play the little games you asked me to. I didn't have much time for you. I'd wash your clothes, I'd sew and cook. But when you'd bring your picture book and ask me please to share your fun, I'd say, a little later, son. I'd tuck you in all safe at night and hear your prayers, turn out the light, then tiptoe softly to the door. I wish I'd stayed 1 minute more. For life is short, the years rush past. A little boy grows up so fast. No longer is he at your side, his precious secrets to confide. The picture books are put away. There are no longer games to play. The goodnight kiss, no prayers to hear, that all belongs to yesteryear. My hands once busy, now are still. The days are long and hard to feel. I wish I could go back and do the little things you asked me to. Teach us what we shall do unto the child, was Manoah's entreaty. Let's train him. The fourth thing I want you to think about in connection with this is let's discipline them when they need it, as the Bible teaches it. We learned a good lesson this morning, I hope, in our Bible class from Eli, from 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13. How the Bible says that his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Children need to be restrained from time to time. His house was going to be judged forever. His arm cut off, and that those of his house would die in the flower of their age, because he didn't discipline his sons. In Proverbs 22 and verse 15, the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. And then again in chapter 29, verse 15, wise Solomon penned these words, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself. You know, a lot of children today are being left to themselves. What about that? Bringeth his mother to shame. And then verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. One of the things that brought about the downfall of the children of Israel, as recorded in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 30, is that their children received no correction. Like it or not, there's a time when we've got to use the rod to discipline them. That's not a club of abuse, but they need to be disciplined. The Hebrew writer talked about that in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, when he said in verse 9, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. It's not joyous. It's grievous. But it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Hebrews 12 and verse 11. Number 5. What shall we do unto the child? The Bible teaches that we need to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Addressing Ephesian fathers in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul said, and you fathers, he's speaking to us today, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. Bring them up how? In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That involves them knowing the will of the Lord and seeing that they do it. And notice who he addresses that to. Fathers. Much of the child rearing and child training and discipline rests upon the father's shoulders. Now that's not to minimize in any way or negate the role of the mother. But notice he said, "Ye fathers." It's possible to treat a child in such a way that he'd be discouraged. You know, there are those that would tell their children, "You're not going to amount to anything." And they give them the impression they can't do anything right. They're discouraged. They're critical of them, yelling at them. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." They need to be built with confidence, built up, and brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. One other point. As you think about what shall we do unto the child, how about love them? You know, children need to know that they're loved, don't they? Writing to the young evangelist Titus in chapter 2 and verse 4, he talked about how the older men are to be and do, and younger men as well, and they talked about older women and young women, and how that it's the responsibility of older women to teach the young women, among other things, to love their husbands and to love their children. That needs to be taught. That needs to be demonstrated. It needs to be shown on the part of all parents. How long has it been since you told your children you love them? Let them know that. They hear that? "I love you. I appreciate you. I'm thankful for you. We're glad we have you." And not just to tell them that, but to show them how much we love. The things that we do. Love has to be shown, doesn't it? And it's shown by action, the things that we do. So what shall we do with the child? Bring them to occasions like this, that they might hear, fear, learn, and do. Teach them. Teach them diligently. Let these words be in our heart. Let's keep our heart with all diligence and take heed to ourselves, but teach them. Train them. Think of them as clay in our hands and us as potters. Discipline them. Don't just leave them to themselves to do as they see fit. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and love them. It's pretty good advice, isn't it? For us as parents. And all that comes from this book. I believe that the God who formed man of the dust of the ground and saw that it was not good that he should be alone and put him to sleep and took a rib from his side and made a woman and brought her into the man. And to this union children were born, knows more about what we shall do unto the child than you or I would ever come to realize through just our own reasoning or our own imagination or trying to learn from some man out here, some woman. To just look to God who gives us our children to search His Word and to find out what we shall do. And may God help us as parents to do the best that we can in bringing up our children. I'm thankful for the fact that you're here today and those of you who are parents and the fact that you've brought your little ones and you see the importance and the value of doing that. And it's my prayer that God will be with you as you strive to show these things to the next generation. There may be one or more in this audience today who's not yet become a Christian. Things have been made ready that you might do that. Having heard the word, would you believe it? Be willing to obey it by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized. Maybe you've already done that. You become unfaithful. You've not taken heed to yourself like you need to. Maybe as a parent, you've not been setting the kind of example that you need to be. You can straighten that up. It's not too late. There's still hope. Repent of whatever it is that you need to change and ask God to forgive you. And He'll give you the strength to do what you need to do. We're here to help you any way that we can. Would you come now as together we stand and sing?